This is Access Radio Chicago, AM 750 WNDZ, Portage, Indiana, Chicago.
Views, opinions, and beliefs expressed on this radio program by the hosts, co-hosts, guests, and or callers do not necessarily reflect those of this radio station and its ownership. The following program, Golfers on Golf, is paid for by Rory Spears Sports Communications Limited and guests.
Welcome to Golfers on Golf Radio, hosted by Ed Stevenson, Rory Spears, and Len Zien.
All right, it's Saturday morning, 9 a.m. Let's tee it up. We're going to be bringing you the world of golf for the next hour from a Chicago area perspective. As you heard in the intro, the show is Golfers on Golf. I'm PGA professional Ed Stevenson, alongside longtime Chicago area journalist Rory Spears. And of course, we have the Illinois Golf Hall of Famer and longtime journalist as well, Len Zien, with us by phone. And guys, here we are. We've landed in June. The golf season seemed to be a little off to a slow start, weather-wise here in April, but May rolled along and boom, landing right in June. We've got a little bit of rain in the forecast today, Rory, which I'm sure the golfers at the facilities that you spent some time at have been keeping an eye on the radar. But guys, here we are. Another week of Golfers on Golf Radio. Thanks for joining us. Rory, how's your week going?
Well, it's been a busy week. And, when the weather app turns green, everybody kind of freaks out. It's amazing the amount of people out there that will cancel a round of golf if they think they're going to get a couple of drops on them on the 18th hole. Things like that have changed golf, and you hope that a lot of people will go out and play. We had a day at Heritage Oaks a couple weeks ago where there was a green line west of Rockford, and some of the leagues thought like half of their groups might get wet, so they canceled, only for the golf course to get about as much rain to fill up a glass of water. So these things can happen. So And one of the fun events of the year at the other club I work at, Medina Country Club, the Medina Open is today. So large field for that. Uh-huh. And all of the members that are out there are hoping they get a chance to get it in and stay dry.
Well, we know that if there's lightning, there's nothing to mess with. But otherwise, a little bit of rain, a little bit of wind. If you talk to our counterparts in Scotland, they're going to tell you, it's not golf if you don't have those conditions. So, Len, I'll admit, even with my Scottish blood, I'm partial to 65, 70 degrees, maybe a slight breeze, a little bit of sunshine. But these golf seasons, at least here in Chicago, are too short to want to miss a day. So hopefully the rain misses us and Medina can still get in their event and everyone else who has golf plans this weekend can play. But Len, how's your week been going?
Well, my week has been a busy week, but it's not so much for the golf. We're finally here in northern Florida, or central Florida, I guess, is more in Ocala. But we're finally going to get a little bit of rain, but we had a little break in temperature this morning. I mean, we've been dealing with 90, 95 degrees throughout the state, and it's dry, but it's not that but there is some breeze, and we had cookout last night, so it couldn't have been too bad. But we got to get on the golf courses. I'm getting ready to hit the road and head your way in a couple of weeks. That's looking good. I'm looking forward to that. But I'd like to play a little bit here before, in really more pleasant weather than I've been seeing.
Well, and it sounds like with the weather you have, it if you are playing there, it won't take long to warm up and get loose. You should be ready to go right off the tee box. And of course, we're looking forward to your visit. It was last June that we hit a pretty dry stretch. We had drought most of the month of June last year, and then turned the corner with some rain coming back in July. But I hope we have more balanced conditions when you are with us here in the Midwest, Len, and tell us along the way when you come in. I know you've got some folks to see and some tournament golf to keep your eye on. But what are some of the destinations you'll be hitting as you make your way here, or once you're back here in the Chicago area?
Yeah, the first stop is one we're kind of pushing a little bit more with the it's quite a significant thing, and I've been on it before, but the Georgia Golf Trail is where we're going to start our trip, basically, and it's there's some Doug Hollinsworth, the guy who runs that Florida Trail. He's got a he's got about 20 courses on it, and they're all kinds of different courses. A lot of state park courses, along with you know, some more top level ones, high upscale ones. So we've got we're not sure exactly how many Doug's got in mind for us, but I know he's. He's got some more in the northern part of the state, and then we're going to, we're going to work our way. We're not exactly sure the stops, but there'll be something in North Carolina, and we'll get our way over to the John Deere Classic. So we'll cover that one, and then I don't know. Somewhere in here, we got to find Michigan. So I'm not exactly sure. We've got a lot of. We've got a lot of possibilities that without dates on them. We've got so it's always that way. It's kind of the life of a nomad, like we are.
Hey, you call it life of a nomad, and I call it I want to be Len Zeem for just a week or two and get in, see some of the places you're seeing, and play some of the golf. I know it's a lot of miles, and I know it's a labor of love for many of those things. But you mentioned the John Deere Classic, and that's. That's really always a highlight every summer. It's the one consistent PGA Tour stop that we know we're going to get here in the Midwest. And I know you certainly have covered it for a long time, Len, but you've been writing about it recently, as noted by their PR guru, our friend Barry Cronin. So I know he always smiles every time that you bring it up, but... what will you be looking forward to this year for the John Deere?
Well, they've got a couple of they have Patrick Cantlay, and they have one other really new name who hasn't been there.
Jason Day.
How can I forget Jason Day? Those are that's going to really upgrade their field. I think you know their field is not bad. They're not going to get, you know, there's some obvious players they're not going to get. I can't believe that that Spieth hasn't been back there after the first great start to his career came over there. But it's going to be a good tournament. I think it's they're really, my hat's off to them. It's been off to them for a long time. That's a small market, and. Boy, they've been. There was a time back there where they almost were going to fold a few years back, and now I think they're one of the, one of the most popular events for as far as the community goes in their community, in the whole PGA Tour for getting their community involved. It's very uplifting, I think, to go to the John Deere Classic. The enthusiasm is there, and of course it's. As we all know, unfortunately, it's the only annual PGA Tour event that's in Chicago. This year, we've got a little bit of a break with the LIV Tour coming in September to look forward to. But, any top player when the John Deere gets it, that's always something to focus on. And, once the tournament starts, it's all things off. But, those are two pretty good names to be added to the field.
Well, with big names in the field and Len Zeem on the grounds, there's a lot to look forward to. We're looking forward to having you back. We love connecting with you, of course, by phone and getting these chats in during our broadcast and during the week as well. But we can't wait to see you in person, Len.
I'm looking forward to it as well.
All right, it is 9:09. You're listening to Golfers on Golf Radio. Ed Stevenson, Rory Spears here in the studio. Len Zeem joins us from the Top of the World Studios in beautiful Ocala, Florida. And Ed, you've been through it a few years ago, a major renovation over at Oak Meadows, now the Preserve at Oak Meadows. And I know round two is coming up before too long over at Maple Meadows.
Right.
But just a little bit to the west of you, we have a pretty big one coming up, a four-year project at one of the Chicago area's major public golf facilities. And to tell us a little bit more about what's happening at Cantini Golf, we bring in the general manager, Terry Hanley. Terry, good morning. How are you?
Gentlemen, good morning. Thanks for taking the time and inviting me in. Appreciate it.
Oh, we appreciate you jumping in. And, you know, Terry, I would say pretty much every golfer that's had the chance to go out to Cantini over the years has just absolutely enjoyed their day on the property, and that's why so many of them keep coming back. The practice facility is outstanding. The junior golf programs, youth links, and everything you offer is just really good. And you know, there's junior talent that starts there, and there's people with a history there. You know, I love talking to Kevin Streelman and listening to him tell me about the days he worked in your pro shop over there before he went out on the PGA Tour, and I believe Kevin made the cut this weekend up at the Canadian Open, so congratulations to him. But the big announcement this week is the plan to sort of reinvest in the property and make it even better going forward. Terry, tell our listeners a lot about what's going to be happening the next few years at the Cantini Golf Links.
Yeah, Rory, thanks again. Yeah, it's an exciting time. It's almost 35 years to the day when Cantini opened. They opened June 5th, and we're going to start renovation June 3rd, 35 years later. But it all started about 4 years ago with a conversation about we have to look at the irrigation system. It's 30 years old. And with that, we had some success with COVID. You know, as everybody knows, it was some great years there. And we were able to line up some great talent and great partners to help us. We have Todd Quitno as our golf architect, and he's done a great job designing this and doing some great tweaks to the golf course. We have Wadsworth Construction doing the construction. They were the original construction company that built the course, so they have a vested interest in this. And V3 Constructions and EC Design doing and Leibold. So we have great partners with us on this deal. But it all started with that discussion on irrigation, and then we tested the soils of the greens and the tees and said, let's look at that again. And the McCormick Foundation that owns the property has been nothing but a great partner to us at Kemper Sports, and looked at us and took our advice, and we decided to let's invest in the greens, the tees, the irrigation system, and we're going to reseed the fairway. So we have a great years ahead of us once this opens up. But we're going to start with Hillside this year, stay an 18-hole golf course, so Lakeside and Woodside will stay available. And then next year when Hillside comes on, we're going to take Lakeside out. It'll be Wood and Hill, and then the following year will be Woodside, and then open up with a 30,000-square-foot practice putting green. We're going to move our halfway house up to the putting green and near the tee box area.
Oh, wow.
And then service both sides. That tee box, that putting green is going to become just a terrific entertainment center. So a lot of great plans ahead, and looks forward to the next 30 years at Cantini.
Well, Terry, speaking of the plans, you know, how much of the plans do you have from, you know, Mr. Packard and Mr. North back in the original design that you're able to turn over to Todd Quitno, your architect, and his team, so they can look at what's there, where everything is buried underground, and how they can put it back in place and obviously make the facilities so much better for many years to come?
No, Roy, great. Great question. As I said, Wadsworth was the original construction company, but Todd Quitno, with the direction of the McCormick Board, was to keep this golf course timeless, not to do anything crazy, just to remain what was done originally, embrace that, and just tweak it, if you will. But our bunker program is getting completely redone, only because technology has changed dramatically, so people are hitting, you know, much farther over bunkers that used to be strategic are now just a nuisance over those years. So Todd's done a great job looking at that program, but I believe everybody will appreciate that we've kept it. We truly embrace that we're going to keep this as a timeless golf course.
Well, Terry, Ed Stevenson here, and I you know, it's so exciting because I think people already think of Cantini as really one of the great golf experiences and a treasure, and I think at first blush they might say, gosh, why do you need to do anything? Of course, if they put on their hat they might have as a homeowner and look at it and realize that infrastructure in a house will fail over time. Of course, golf courses have the same thing. You mentioned the irrigation system and, bunkers becoming less relevant due to the game changing a little bit, and even drainage systems in bunkers changing. But you've got an opportunity to reintroduce this golf course to the public. And when they come out, experience it again, you mentioned regrassing it. Some of that technology has changed. What are the plans in terms of the regrassing?
No, great question, and good to talk to you. We've looked at a lot of different seed deal, but it's going to be just one of the newest version of bent grass. We really, really are looking at the drainage issue as we've developed over the years, 35 years. There's a lot of different areas that just have become pockets of issues there. And going back to our irrigation system, I think we spent more time over the last 3 years fixing leaks than we have actually trying to, be successful repairing grass, taking care of the grass, if you will. So that time invested in repairing the irrigation system really opened our eyes to the labor and the spend there, and just really showed us how weak the system was becoming. But I think with the McCormick Foundation understanding it's 35 years old, they took the same look at you did, just said that they look, if this was our home, you'd reinvest in it now. And it's just setting it up for the next 35 years, or 30 years. And, it's going to become, when everybody sees this done, it's going to become just really a terrific, terrific golf course again.
Well,
just remain that way.
Terry, I've got to ask Len Ziem. Lenny, were you there for the grand opening day? I remember getting an opportunity to go play in another golf outing that day because our good friend from the media business, Mr. Jules Firth, had an invite to another outing, and he turned it down to go to the grand opening outing over at Cantini. So were you out there with him that day when it all started?
Yeah, I not only was I there, I had a treat there that was my partner was Larry Packard. Father
wow.
of the father of the architect, and it was a good to get to know him because he was a legend even way back then. I mean, this was he did all the courses at Eagle Ridge, but that's a memorable day. You know, one of the things I always felt about Cantini was, and it shows up right now, is that the beauty of it is one of the many beauties of it is that it has 27 holes. I mean, you can do something like this, and as far as your players go, they can still get an 18-hole round in. Most they're not going to miss a chance to play 18 holes for 3 years. Well, more than 3 years, forever, I guess. But, I did wonder, Terry, do you have any feel yet? Cantini's been a good tournament side. I mean, 5 state amateurs have been there. You've had a couple of National Public Links tournaments there. It's been a good tournament course. Is this going to just wipe out tournaments until you get it all together, or do you see anything in the works even while construction's going on?
No, great question, Len, and good to hear your voice too. We as you said, we host the State Am. We tried to do that every 5 years, and we had to move that back 2 more years, so we have to wait 7 years. But we are committed to that. We really do embrace the fact that we can continue to grow the game and continue to grow youth golf throughout all our 300 acres. It's an amazing campus for youth play, and that's why it's important. We're very cognizant of where we're keeping construction fences, so we can keep our youth program going in a safe environment. Because we have 2,600 children in that this year, wow. So it's really it's crazy. It's a great campus for golf.
It is, and there's such great interest and enthusiasm for golf that the demand continues to be high, and it's a big commitment from Cantini and the McCormick foundation to go and actually reduce capacity when there's such high demand. But, you know, the opportunity to still have 18 holes is amazing. But I'm sure you're going to be busy already. I'm sure those 18 holes, there'll be a ton of demand for tee times. What are some of the plans, even in terms of just managing what will be reduced capacity and I hope continued high demand?
Yeah, no, it's the demand's there. Just, you know, today, you know, unfortunately, it's not a very good day to go out and play. But tomorrow, I don't think our first availability till is after 4 o'clock. So, we have a very, very loyal group of people who enjoy Cantini. And over the last couple of years, we've been able to introduce Cantini to a lot of new players of all different levels. And we're able to support all of them. And, knock on wood, life is good right now. So
I noticed on your website and a few others there, you know, as technology changes, even on the tee time booking end of things, that continues to evolve. I noticed you now have a virtual tee time assistant, which some years ago might not have been so necessary in golf courses when there was, more capacity than demand. But how's that piece of technology working for you, Terry?
Yeah, I was a little skeptical when it was introduced a couple of years ago, but it's called Notify, and players love it. The players are able to go in, look at golf courses. If they look, they can't get on it. You have this partnership with Notify. You're able to do that part. That golfer is able to just, click, I'm interested here at this time. And if we have a cancellation, they get notified immediately. And they're able to jump on that tee time. And if they do this at 2-3 courses, they're able to get on where they want to play at what time they want to play most likely or darn close to it. With this deal, so it's been a good little system. It works for us, and our guests love it. So,
love it, Terry. Yeah, nice way to answer some of that question of, gee, it's really hard to get on there. Here's your opportunity. So
there you go.
I mean, it works. It like I said, I was a little skeptical, but everybody seems to embrace it, and if our guests are happy, we're happy.
Terry, you've talked about the junior golf involvement at the property, and I don't know if we've really touched on this, but there's probably people wondering what's going to happen at the youth links. Is it going to close? Is it going to be redone? What are plans for youth links going forward? And might Todd Quitnow and his team look at that a little bit at some point, maybe after the main 27 holes gets done at Cantini?
Well, the youth links, what we've done over the last couple of years is slowly introduce more family play at youth links and really encourage, after our clinics are done, we're able to really encourage parents to get their children to make that tee time for the family so the child's embracing the ownership of it. But with that, we've also introduced adult play after 7 o'clock. We've had a great couple of deals of where we've introduced a party on the par three, and it's been a great way for just adults to come out with a couple of clubs, enjoy a cocktail or two with some great food from our chef. And that's been selling out. We do, I think, once a month, and it's sold out every month. After somebody plays it, they sign up the next morning. How do I get on it again? So we're really embracing this casual play of golf. And, if it only takes 2 hours to do that, it's a great way for couples to enjoy play and those who may be just getting introduced to the game. So Youth Links has taken a little bit of a turn to introduce it to every level of player after the kids are done with it during the day.
Well, I'll tell you what, party on the par three. I like that.
I love it.
Yeah,
that
sounds.
You gotta come out, gentlemen. We'd love to have you out. I'm telling you, bring a guest. Let me know. I'll send you the dates when they're going to be this summer. You will love it, especially if it's a beautiful evening.
Okay, well, Terry, we're gonna hold you to that. And I got to ask you. I know the pro shop at Cantini has won some awards. Is best in state and things like that in the past. Will you take the opportunity while you have a little less play to do some things around the clubhouse? And what about logos and things like that? Will anything change, or will there be any commemorative stuff happening here under the, shall we say, the rebranded Cantini Golf Links?
No, we're going to keep we're going to keep the Leaf and the Cantini Golf just as it is. That, you know, 35 years with that logo, it's has some great traction. So we are entertaining right now, looking at taking the clubhouse to a remodel inside and a redesign, and open up more restaurant space towards the windows, looking out, and move our offices down towards where the locker rooms are, since, you know, locker rooms are not used as often anymore. So we have a lot of plans in motion now to, in discussion, and trying to do this. So when the course comes out of, you know, comes out of this renovation, hopefully we'll be able to have a clubhouse that's a brand new clubhouse from the interior side, looking over that beautiful lake and lakeside, and that beautiful putting lawn that we're going to have.
Well, Terry, we've mentioned a few times throughout this interview the connection and really the commitment that Cantini has and you have with youth golf in so many different ways. I don't want to overlook or even for a moment look past part of that being your relationship with the Illinois Junior Golf Association and host site for the what was the inaugural Illinois Junior Golf Hall of Fame event, another one coming up this summer, and really a long-term relationship, which I think is just tremendous between you and Illinois Junior Golf Association. And it was a very special night two summers ago to see Kevin Streelman, with all his ties to your facility, be one of the initial inductees into the Illinois Junior Golf Hall of Fame. But just really want to, acknowledge and share appreciation for everything that you do for youth golf and your involvement with, in particular, IJGA.
Yeah, IJGA is we are now, you know, as you said, that we're home of the Hall of Fame of the IJGA, which is exciting, and it's just a natural partnership. And the McCormick Foundation and Kemper Sports supports that relationship, which as a general manager, I'm very appreciative of that. But to your point, Rory, Kevin Streelman has been nothing but stellar to Cantini. He came in the day he had a hole-in-one at the John Deere Classic on a Sunday, I don't know, 3 years ago, maybe 4 years ago, he came in that Sunday night and bought the entire restaurant a round of drinks.
Wow, that's quite a commute. Wow. That's a couple-hour commute coming back.
He went where he wanted,
he wanted
to be. Yeah, wow.
He's class. And to watch him interact with children, it's incredible. It's incredible to watch. He touches every child, doesn't leave until the last child asks that last question.
Amazing. I know even last summer in doing a clinic in association with the Kevin Streelman event as part of IJGA, he was going to come and maybe be there for a half an hour to an hour. He stayed, spent the afternoon, and just was. I think he had a hard time peeling himself away. And, of course,
he pulled out at 5:30.
Yeah.
And he was supposed to leave at 2.
And the best part of that story, the next best part of that story was he was off to, Minnesota for a tour event the next day, and got off to a hot start, which he credited to being re-energized from his time spent at Cantini and with really all the kids and seeing their passion for golf. That's pretty awesome stuff.
Well, Terry, Terry, before we let you go, anything else you'd like to mention to the listeners about the upcoming project, since it is going to run for a few years?
No, it's just come on out. It's a very safe environment. We've taken a lot of precautions, and we're going to make sure the 18 holes that are open up this year, especially this year, Woodside and Lakeside, they're two great holes in golf, or two great tracks in golf. So we'd love to have everybody out.
Okay, real good. Well, Terry Hanley, General Manager, Cantini Golf Links out in Wheaton, thanks for joining us this morning. We're really excited to see how this whole project is going to develop over the next few years. You got one of the great architects in the area, Todd Quitno, aboard to do it. And we'll look forward to getting out to Cantini and hitting the golf ball around and seeing you out on property real soon.
Gentlemen, thanks again for this morning. I really appreciate it. Great catching up with all three of you.
Likewise. Thanks, Terry.
Okay. 929 Golfers on Golf Radio. Rory Spears, Ed Stevenson, Len Zeem with us as well. We are going to take a break, and we're going to head north. Golf in Michigan is starting to bloom for the summer. We're back right after this. The Misswood Golf Club, located at 1700 West Renwick Road in Romeoville, is one of the Chicago area's top public golf courses. This Ray Hearn design is a links-style course complete with Scottish-Irish-styled sidewall bunkers. Each year, Misswood plays home to the Phil Kozen Illinois Women's Open and has hosted other golf championships, including the Illinois State Amateur and the Women's Western Golf Association National Amateur Championship. This year, Misswood has built an extension onto the driving range to hold even more golfers at one time. The Performance Center is constantly being updated with the latest in golf technology for club fittings and lessons. Misswood has one of the largest staffs of Illinois PGA teaching professionals at any club. So come on out and enjoy Misswood. Challenge your game through the holes of Kelpie's Corner. And after the round, enjoy the food and beverage of McWethy's Tavern in the clubhouse. For more information, call 815-254-3333 or visit mistwoodgc.com.
DuPage Golf has reinvented the nature of golf in Chicagoland. After extensive renovations, the Preserve at Oak Meadows is reborn as a new, award-winning 18-hole golf course, practice facility, and environmental haven. The reviews are in. The Preserve at Oak Meadows joins the ranks of top courses in the country on Golf Week's Best You Can Playlist and is the winner of Golf Digest's Green Star Award and Golf Inc.'s Renovation of the Year. Visit DuPageGolf.com to book a tee time. Learn more about the Preserve at Oak Meadows at DuPageGolf.com.
The Erin Hills Golf Club in Erin, Wisconsin is your home for golf on a true championship golf course. In 2017, Erin Hills hosted the U.S. Open, but next year the U.S. Open will return with the ladies getting the opportunity. This time, the women's 2025 U.S. Open will be Erin Hills' fifth USGA championship. So why not come out and play the two-time U.S. Open course before the women arrive in 25? Erin Hills has now opened the 63,000-square-foot Drumlin putting green for those players with a tee time or staying overnight. Yes, the Drumlin has lights, so night golf is an option. If you arrive at Erin Hills later in the day and daylight is fading, why not try the Kettle 5-hole loop, which is comprised of holes 1 through 5 on the main Erin Hills golf course? Food and beverage? As some of Wisconsin's finest choices, including the in-house Fescue Rescue, a popular choice of Erin Hills golfers. Overnight accommodations, both in the lodge and the cottages, are filling up quickly. So make your tee times and book your play-and stays at erinhills.com or call Erin Hills at 866-772-4769.
All right, we're back. You're listening to Golfers on Golf Radio here in studio. I'm PGA professional Ed Stevenson alongside sports journalist Rory Spears. We've got Hall of Famer Len Ziem on the phone as our third co-host here. And guys, as we make the turn into the back nine of our hour of golf talk, we're hitting stride in the golf season here in June. I think a lot of folks have some plans or want to be making plans for not only where they're going to play in the Chicago area, but in the extended area beyond Chicago. We know the Midwest has some great golf destinations, and the best weather of the year is finally here.
Yeah, it sure is. You know, sometimes we talk about our weather here in Chicago, but golf season sometimes is a half step behind us the further north you get in states like Wisconsin and Minnesota and northern Michigan. But the good weather has arrived in northern Michigan, and a whole lot of other great things golf-wise are arriving at the Boyne Properties in northern Michigan. And to tell us more about it, our good friend Ken Griffin. Ken, how are you this morning?
I'm great. Rory, Ed, Lynn, good to talk to you guys again.
Well, Ken, welcome back to the program. And, I have been following as closely as possible the addition of the brand-new par 3 course designed by our good friend Ray Hearn. And I know that everybody at Boyne is excited about it. And I know you're hoping to bring it online at some point this summer. What can you tell us? Hopefully the winter weather wasn't too harsh, and the grow-in will come in, and people will be out there playing before long.
Oh, well, yeah, you and everybody else, Ray, it's probably the biggest question of the year. We started on it midsummer last year. We were on schedule. We did have some weather setbacks. We had a night with 5 inches of rain overnight.
Oh, wow.
Just in early November last year, and had another night this spring. So we've had a couple setbacks, but, yeah, the goal is still to bring it on as soon as possible. You know, everybody wants to know an opening date. And, you know, we've been talking about this, obviously, internally, of when do we think it's going to be ready. And we took a step back and said, you know, what have we done with all of the updates? Because over those past couple of years, and we've talked about it, you know, five different holes on a Donald Ross Memorial and all the different changes and updates we've made to all the courses. We're like, you know, we haven't set a date with any of those. What we've done is waited until they're in the shape that we would expect a course to be in to play it, and then we open it up. So it's not about, you know, 2 weeks of revenue that we don't get because we didn't hit this date. It's about, let's make the course up to the standard level that we try and maintain on all of them. And we're going to do the same thing with Dune Brae and the accompanying putting area. The putting area is all seated. There's a little more sod work to be done. The construction crew ought to be off of Dune Brae in the next couple of weeks. But then you still just, as you said, have to give it time to grow in.
Well, Kenny, I'll tell you what, it's been a couple years since I've been up there, but I know our good friend Len Ziem's been there since. And Lenny, what have you got for Ken? Because I know you've had an in-person visit up there since I have.
Yeah, I tell you, we've been there, I think, the last couple of years and hung out with Ken for quite a while up there. You know, I'm going to be wanting to head your way, as I always am, because Boyne, I tell you, Boyne is one of those courses. Boyne and Pinehurst both, they're kind of, there's every year you ought to try to be there from a newspaper, from a journalism standpoint, because there's always something new going on at those places. And Boyne has just been a bevy of news for us. The Donald Ross course, of course, I'm interested in that one. I'm interested in all of them. But how are things? How do you think that's going to? Which is going to be the new hole, and what's going on there, Ken?
Well, all five that we have worked on over the last 2 years they're beautiful, and I think every time Ray does one, I always say, wow, that's the best looking hole we have on that course. And then Ray does another one. And I'm like, well, maybe it's not, you know, or that's the best looking hole at the Highlands. But, you know, they're challenging the Arthur Hills 13, which has been our standard up there with that view of 4,000 acres. But every time Ray redoes a hole, it's spectacular. And we've got these five ready to play. We're anxious. We host the Adidas State Pro-Am next week. And, one day on the Ross and one day on the Heather. Then 2 weeks after that, we're actually hosting the 113th Michigan Amateur on the Heather. You know, that's the grand dam of resort courses in northern Michigan and kind of the one that started it. But and when those are done, we actually are going to start working on Ross 10, which is the hole from Royal Dornick. Not a Ross-designed hole, but one where he cut his teeth, because that's where he grew up and learned the game and learned about architecture, was at Royal Dornick.
Well, this is one of those years where I think I'm going to try to push it, push my visit there a little later on. Fred Elfvader, my friend from the Ohio Golf Tournament, has invited me to be his partner and a member guest in Cadillac, Michigan in August. So I'm trying to figure out a way to, I'm certainly going to want to visit Boyne then and see if some of these projects will be further along then. And it's going to be exciting to have a look at them, Ken. I'm looking forward to seeing you then as well.
Well, it's always great to see you, Len. And I think you're doing this to make Rory and Ed jealous.
He always does that. Absolutely.
Let me tell you how good it is and what changes they're making. So I love it.
Kenny, I gotta tell you, you look at you know, some of the advertisements that are out there for your property in various publications, and always the views and the looks over at Bay Harbor over there come through a lot. But break down the entire Boyne property, because you don't just have a couple of golf courses. You got 10, soon to be 11, I guess, in the overall head count there. And but they're spread out. Boyne isn't just on one parcel of land. You've got it over a few different properties.
Yeah, well, it's all centered around Petoskey, Michigan. You know, the Highlands Resort is host to four courses right now. That's like 12 miles north Petoskey. Then 5 miles west, we have the four. We have the three at Bay Harbor, and then one across the street at Crooked Tree, with a lot of Lake Michigan and bay views. You know, there's a lot of a lot of dramatic views up the highlands. Then you drive to Boyne Mountain, which is about 25 minutes south of Bay Harbor, and you're looking at, you have a 1.2-mile drive to the top of the two courses, and you play back down with views of Deer Lake. So your farthest drive, if you try and make it hard, is 35 minutes. But it's not just about the 10 courses. That is a lot of quantity. Pinehurst is the only destination resort that has more golf courses than we do. But it goes beyond that, and that it's the quality and the variety. So we know all courses can't win awards, although we think they should, but they can't. But you will find the conditions. You know, Lynx Quarry has been a traditional Golf Digest top 100. The Arthur Hills is typically like a top 130, 150 in a lot of different pubs. But you will find the same conditions at courses that you may not have heard about that you will. You'll find, from fairways to green speeds to bunker raking, all the meticulous attention to detail that makes those award-winning courses, you're going to find on all of the courses. So it's about the quality, variety, and the ease to get around, like you talked about. Wisconsin, for a lot of Chicago market, it's great golf. There's no argument there. But our 10 are in such close proximity when your farthest drive is just a little over a half hour.
Well, Ken, I've got to ask you, I know that some of the golfers from down here like to get up on some of these Midwest golf trips. And, you hear from the guys that go to Wisconsin and they say, geez, we get up there and we get some of the Wisconsin brews that we grew up with years ago that we don't always see around here in Chicago anymore. And one thing I remember about my last trip up in your direction, I grew up with a bunch of guys that would love to drink Stroh's beer from Michigan. And it was at your place the last time I was there. Do you still have it?
I believe we do. But more popular a little bit for is just the number of distilleries and breweries and wineries and all the different options. I mean, a lot of places you go, golf resorts, all you get is a golf resort. You're really on property. And we encourage you, because right in the middle of all, no matter which of the courses you pick, you're only about 8 to 10 minutes away from a town with breweries and distilleries and restaurants and all these other different activities that you don't just have the restaurant choices on property, although most of our properties have a lot. You have all these different things you can partake of on your golf vacation.
Well, Ken, I know for some of the visitors, everyone's interest in a trip and their niche is going to be a little different. For some, it's going to be the food and the distilleries and the craft beers. For others, they might want to work on their game a little bit and really focus on finding some top-notch instruction. I'm not saying you can't do both, but I know you have an award-winning academy. Maybe tell us a little bit about the Boyne Golf Academy.
Thanks. Appreciate it, Rory. We've got a great staff. We have 17 PGA professionals on our 10 courses in Michigan alone. But four of those are just dedicated to instruction at the Boyne Golf Academy. Joe Charles is our director of instruction, and he had extensive background before he came to us. Jeff Roth is a Michigan and Arizona Hall of Famer. He and Dan Pohl were college roommates in Arizona, so I can imagine that was a hell of a team. He's played in, I think, 6 senior PGA championships now. Dave McWhorter is a master club fitter and instructor. And last summer we had had a fourth full-time just instructor in the academy, Bob Frank, who flips he's a pretty good instructor. Two of his daughters were on Big Break for the Golf Channel, so he kind of knows what he's doing. But he flip-flops winter and summer between Florida and Michigan. We've seen a lot of people, the growth coming out of COVID. People taking up the game, or people who are, wow, I haven't played in a few years. I need to develop my skills. So we've developed programs around that. We had our first Get Golf Ready lesson. That's a 5-lesson series on Tuesday evenings. But we had, I think, 35 or 40 people in it. It's been full both spring and fall. But they'll be the first to tell you, too, that the thing that they're appreciative of at Boyne is that, they are great at going out there and watching you, but our ownership has done a good job of providing them technology. We've had TrackMan in for about 10 years. We've had Gears technology in for about 8 years, which is a swing analysis system. Then we started working with Sportsbox AI, which lets you take the avatar, the tool that they use in Gears, and take it out on a range or out on a course if you have a playing lesson. It's 3D motion analysis. So, you know, we try and supply them with both so they can do a quicker analysis of what's working and what's not working and give you a better program moving forward in the future.
Lenny, did you want to jump back in with a follow-up here for Ken?
Well, I tell you, Ken, I'm looking forward to seeing all the new stuff that's there. You've opened some eyes of mine. I didn't know about the updates on the courses. Always my favorite courses, of course, let's see. I don't want to name one. I was going to
that's you can't have a favorite. You can't have a favorite child, then.
Arthur Hills is the one, but I shouldn't let that out. But anyway, I'm looking forward to getting there to see, and I know you're going to have a lot of good news to report. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, yeah, it's just fun to see it grow, to see the game grow, to see travel into Michigan, to grow for golf. The National Golf Foundation just released a study last week. The Michigan Golf Association empowered them to do it. And Michigan has 859 courses. I think that's one of the things that makes us better at what we do. People in Michigan drive by a lot of very good courses to get to ours. So there's 750 public courses. That's number one in the U.S. for public golf courses. Three in every 10 rounds in Michigan are played by somebody from out of state. And obviously a lot of that comes out of the Chicago market. And, I mean, that's based on every round. So when you take Northern Michigan and the destination resorts or the resorts in America, summer golf capital up there at the top of the mitten, there's a lot of out-of-state golfers coming into Michigan more than we've ever seen before.
Ken, I've got to ask you, and I'm going to have you describe it. I've written about it before. I'm sure Lenny has as well, but I got to say this, one of my all-time favorite par fives that I've seen anywhere sits on the back nine of the Arthur Hills course up there, and it kind of is long. It bends a little to the left, but it goes out, and it goes down, and it goes out, and it goes down. It's a whole lot of yards, but it's great views from the tee. Tell us about that spectacular golf hole, because you know what? I'd love to see it featured in more in videos and social media, because I still think you're sitting on one of the great par fives anywhere in the country.
Thanks. Really appreciate it, Rory. Yeah, it's a, that cart path, as you said, it sits on the back half, but that's a 9-mile-long cart path on the Arthur Hills. It takes you 45 minutes to drive it, even if you're not playing golf. But when you climb to the 13th, and climb is probably an understatement. When you get to the top, when you're looking from the tips, you've got over a 30-story drop from tee to green. And it is a par five. If you're playing from the tips and you don't have a 300-yard club in your bag, you shouldn't be at the tips, because you'll never make the swale that sits out there as you tear down. But it's not a hard – I can even give you the tip of, if you don't make the swale, what club could get you out of there and you can still be on in regulation, because I've been there enough. But the amazing thing, that course, the fairways, all the fairways are wide open. You can land a 747 on them. But the closer you get to the green on that hills course, and specifically on that par five, I don't know how many times I've been on in regulations and I walked off going, well, which putt did the wheels start to come off on? Because it's not an easy course to putt. But when you're that high above the green and you're looking at 4,000 acres that you can't see a building on, it's a pretty spectacular view.
Yeah, it certainly is. It's just it's an amazing hole, and great vision by Arthur Hills there when he put that one in. And I'll tell you what, it's a lot of fun to play, and it's not the only fun hole up at Boyne Properties. And whether you're bouncing around Arthur's design over on the three nines, over there at Bay Harbor. The Quarry Nine is fun, and you know, the other nines on that golf course as well. And tell us about the inn a little bit there, right there on Bay Harbor, because you see the photos, and I'm sure there's a lot of people out there saying, I've got to stay there at least one night at some point.
Yeah, it's a spectacular property. If anybody's ever been to the Del Coronado in California or the Mount Washington Hotel, it's that turn-of-the-century hotel. It's right on Lake Michigan. It's 125 rooms. It's a Marriott autograph property, so if you're a Marriott member, that certainly helps facilitate it. But it's about 2 miles from the course. And, you know, with all of those, you've got views of about 150 miles right out across Lake Michigan to Wisconsin. And, you know, it's another advantage for everybody coming out of Chicago. As we said, there's a lot of great golf, but one opportunity Michigan offers is you have an extra hour of daylight. So whether you're playing on the course or whether you're playing after you're done playing on the course, there's plenty of time to enjoy those beautiful sunsets over Lake Michigan as well.
Wow. Yeah, I know. I always enjoy when we get up there, and you can arrive a little later in the day and still duck out and play some holes. Ken, anything else you want to cover with our listeners about what's happening up there or what's going to be happening here in the summer of 2024?
Well, I think the biggest thing is just every year it seems to be that it's easier to get to Boyne. Okay, you know, we've always been a Michigan destination. If we go back 10 years ago, 85% of our golfers came from Michigan, and then a few from Indiana and Ohio and Chicagoland, and a few from Ontario. But the last couple of years, we've had people from 48 states each of the last couple of years play it, in large part because not only is it a six-hour drive from Chicago and a lot of the Midwest, but we went through our 5,200-foot strip at Boyne Mountain was totally rebuilt, taken down to the dirt, $4 million in upgrades. So now if you have access to a private plane, we can handle up to 16-passenger private jets in at Boyne Mountain's airport, and you're 1,000 feet from the hotel. And Traverse City now offers direct flights from 20 cities. So if you've ever come up or wanted to experience Boyne, now not only can people from Chicago get there, but you can invite your friends from all over the U.S. It can be a golf-centric trip for all these people. Boston, there's a direct flight from Boston into Traverse City. It's just over 2 hours. But as far away as Phoenix and Denver and four airports out of Florida. So now you can have a trip with all your buddies coming to the Midwest to show off our courses and not just have to travel to play golf.
Well, Ken, that's great news. Ed Stevenson and I will look forward to Len Zeem picking us up in his private jet on the way up to northern Michigan. But, Kenny, before we let you go, give us the lowdown on websites, social media, and stuff people can learn more about Boyne and all of its properties.
The easiest way is if you're golf-centric vacation, just go to Boyne Golf. Boyne Golf on social medias or boynegolf.com, because we have access ways to get you a little feel for each of the resorts and where you may want to stay. Take a look at the website, spend a little time, and then you can't book a vacation online. We just have too much to offer. We train our agents for over 3 months before we let them start taking calls. So what best thing to do is look at the website, call, you tell us what you want, and our experienced agents will help you find it.
All right. That sounds great. Looking forward to hopefully seeing you at some point this summer or early in the fall. Kenny, thanks for jumping in with Len Zeem, Ed Stevenson, and myself here on Golfers on Golf Radio. And hopefully it'll be a great, exciting summer of golf up in the state of Michigan.
I'd love to have you guys back up. I know I can count on Lim, and I hope Ed, you and Rory both make it up as well.
Can't wait.
Yep, real good. Kenny, thanks for jumping in. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Ken Griffin, Director of Sales Marketing, Boyne Properties in Michigan. And Lenny, of all the places that you and I do travel to, that is definitely one of the fun ones that we could wish we always had time to put on our schedule every year.
Yeah, it's a funny thing. I meant that when I said that, just thinking about it, not just for the enjoyment of the golf, which is great there, but it seems in our world, in our world that combines the journalism and the reporting side with the fun side, Boyne and Pinehurst, you know, they're almost requirements to try to show up at each one of those at least once a year, because there's just so much going on. And right now, I think that, of course, Pinehurst has got the U.S. Open coming up, but Boyne is always, there's always a story to tell there. It's such a big place, and it's got so much to offer at, that's been going on for quite a while. It's quite a place to visit.
All right, a couple of news notes here as we start to wind down our hour of golf talk. First of all, the U.S. Women's Open this week at Lancaster Country Club in Pennsylvania. Great club. I've had the privilege of playing there three times, and it's an old William Flynn classic and really fun to play. And some of the improvements they did when they had the U.S. Women's Open there in 2015 where they set the all-time attendance record have really stood out. Lexi Thompson announcing a retirement and then also missing the cut. And it seems like a lot of big names actually have missed the cut for this weekend. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I'm stunned. I'm absolutely stunned. Nellie Korda wins 6 out of 7 and then makes a 10 on a hole in the first round. She misses the cut. Lexi, of course. Brooke Henderson missed the cut. Lydia Ko missed the cut. And of course our two, unfortunately, our two Chicago area players, Elizabeth Zokel and the amateur Caroline Smith, they missed the cut too, but they're not in the level of all these four star players that aren't playing on the weekend. It makes for a very strange U.S. Women's Open. So, I don't know. I'm envy you here for getting to play Lancaster. I was very much taken aback by looking at that course on TV. I've never played there, but it looks great. It's very interesting. It comes across very interesting on the TV screen.
Well, it's looks like an amazing venue. I share your sentiment, Len, with being jealous of Rory, having had the chance to play it. But I want to, in the brief time we have left, I do want to mention the Lexi Thompson retirement. Really, that is a pretty amazing story. This is her 18th U.S. Open. Bear in mind, she is 29 years old. I know she's been candid and open about some mental health struggles and feelings of loneliness, you know, being a star on the tour. I think there's a lot to that and conversation for future shows. But certainly even in the broader context of what happened on the PGA Tour and the loss of Grayson Murray. But best wishes to Lexi Thompson and really what has been a pretty amazing career at age 29.
Yeah, I got to tell you, she's one of the all-around nice people out there in golf, in the women's side. And people will tell you a lot of the women are just nicer than the guys. But, you know, I remember flying out to Baltimore to cover the first International Crown. And by the time my plane landed and I got over to Caves Valley where they were hosting the championship that week, I walked into the press tent. And Team USA was just getting up. Their whole entire team was there. The whole press conference had just ended. And I thought, geez, I need to write a story tonight. Who can I talk to? And I'm like, I've always heard good things about Lexi Thompson. So I walked up to her, introduced myself, and she didn't leave to go with the rest of the team to go practice or whatever. She sat down with me in the press tent and stayed an extra 10 to 12 minutes just to talk to me about what this event meant to her, what an event it meant to women's golf and things like that. And she couldn't have been nicer. And I've never forgotten that and really appreciate it. Here on the local scene, starting a little late this year, but finally getting open 2 days ago, the number one public golf course, Dubstred, coming out of its bunker project and a few other improvements, and opening about 7-8 weeks later than normal. But COG 4 finally back and playable for golfers in the Chicago area this summer, Ed.
Well, I know demand is high, and golfers will be glad to have another course online. It's going to be great to hear the feedback on that, and I know we'll probably talk more about that in shows to come. But we'll be back on the air next Saturday at 9 o'clock. Tee it up with us again right here on AM 750. Before we tap out here, we want to invite you to make sure you visit us online. It's golfersongolf.com for everything that happens between the broadcasts. We want to thank our guests, Ken Griffin with the Boyne Golf Resorts, Terry Hanley with Cantini Golf in Wheaton. Of course, our producer, Brian, thanks for getting us out to you loud and clear. And last but not least, you, our listeners, thanks for spending part of your Saturday with us. Avoid those raindrops, and until next week, hit them straight. On behalf of Len Ziem, Rory Spears, I'm Ed Stevenson. See you next week.
DuPage Golf has reinvented the nature of golf in Chicagoland. After extensive renovations, the Preserve at Oak Meadows is reborn as a new, award-winning 18-hole golf course, practice facility, and environmental haven. The reviews are in. The Preserve at Oak Meadows joins the ranks of top courses in the country on Golf Week's Best You Can Playlist and is the winner of Golf Digest's Green Star Award and Golf Inc.'s Renovation of the Year. Visit DuPageGolf.com to book a tee time. Learn more about the Preserve at Oak Meadows at DuPageGolf.com.
The preceding program, Golfers on Golf, was paid for by Rory Spears Sports Communications Limited and guests.